accession number 23174, reel 3.
During this period of time, had they improved the searchlights?
No.
Was there a better model?
No. No, not really. No, they worked. They were efficient. And they certainly did the period.
What were the duties and responsibilities of a second lieutenant on a searchlight site?
Just making certain your little group of soldiers knew their jobs, and didn't get too bored.
Was that a problem, boredom?
Yeah, I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was, in retrospect. Because, as I said, there was no activity, nothing moved. You were always in the same place doing the same thing. So, yes, it must have been boredom.
Did that cause problems with the men?
No. You see, we were so grateful to be where we were, I suppose. It was a case of someone had to be there, thank goodness it's me. There was no false modesty about the thing. We were pleased that we weren't at the wrong end of a bullet.
As part of your leisure, did you get involved with the local people?
As a young officer, I got invited to parties, to places, to private tennis courts. Yes, but I don't think the troops did. I think I was just one of the favoured few again.
How many NCOs and men would you command as a second lieutenant?
Oh, not many. On 20, 30 in our section.
And was that a responsibility for one searchlight or two or what?
It was. We only had two. You took charge of the searchlights, and my group were the searchlights.
And the accommodation, you'd have
I was
to
in
be
a private house again at Whitley Bay, and we went to a communal place to eat, I'm sure, but.
How far was the accommodation of yourself and the men from the searchlight?
Only perhaps a quarter of a mile. We were on the front at Whitley Bay, and of course the searchlights were by the abbey.
Were the beaches mined and wired?
Yes, yes. You couldn't get onto the beaches. They had the. The pillboxes and the barbed wire and the sands in areas were mined. No, not allowed. Not allowed.
And your houses, were they requisitioned?
Yes,
had been moved?
Yes, yes.
And was that the same right along the front? Had everyone been moved off the front?
I don't know whether everyone. I don't know. But certainly, there wouldn't be everyone because there wouldn't be enough officers. There wouldn't be sufficient officers. It would only be the unlucky ones or the lucky ones, whichever way you look at it. And I wasn't there very long before I got moved on again.
And where did you move to?
Gibraltar.
Do you recall the date that this happened?
No. No. I don't. No, I don't. We didn't know where we were going, of course. We just got instructed to report it to Gourock. And at Gourock, we got shoveled onto a ship.
Did you move as a complete sanctuary?
No. I was by myself again. I became armament officer on the ship. By the time I'd got all the blooming small arms of all the blooming troops, goodness knows how many there were, about 1,500, I think, got them into the armory, it was time to get them out again. Because it took, what, 3 or 4 days, I think, to get to Gibraltar.
What are your memories of the journey itself?
WAFs. There was a small contingent of WAFs. No, not WAFs, Wrens. Wrens, small contingent of Wrens. And I was very fortunate to get to know a couple of them, to chat to. And I'm only chat to, but they became very friendly. And it stood me in good stead, because they got off at Gibraltar as well. And so I had an immediate introduction to the Wrenry at Gibraltar. But that was the main thing. And, of course, the blackout, wondering where we were going.
Was it a convoy?
Yes, we were in a convoy. And then I can't even remember the name of the ship. We went the other side of Ireland, out into the Atlantic, and then back in again.
Your accommodation on the ship, as an officer?
Was a little cabin. I think I shared it with one other. But I was so busy either chatting up these wrens or in the armoury that I didn't really spend much time in the bunk accommodation.
Did you suffer from seasickness?
On that occasion, no, thank goodness. Again, I'm sure it was because I had plenty to do, because the armoury was right up in the bow of the ship. And so we were bouncing all over the place. But no, I wasn't seasick.
When you weren't involved in your duties as in the armoury and, shall we say, the leisure duties, what were they on board ship? How did it keep you occupied? Or how did you keep yourselves occupied? You've mentioned the Wrens, of course.
Yeah. Abandoned ship duty, making certain that my armoury men were my responsibility. To make certain we knew where to go and how to get your life jackets on. That occurred every day. Then it was only 3 or 4 days, so I didn't have...
Was there a canteen on the ship?
Don't know. Can't remember.
And your particular responsibility were the armoury men. How many did you have working with you?
Oh, only about half a dozen. They had a steady stream of of men sort of handing in their rifles, and they all had to be allocated areas and made certain that everyone knew where everyone's which group of men had what rifles. Yes, it was quite a logistic sort of exercise.
Was it crowded?
The ship? Yes. Oh, yes, it was. There were a lot of people on it.
You had no duties inspecting the decks?
No.
Presumably there was a ship's inspection.
Yes. The ship's crew officers were responsible for the ship and got little destroyers zooming about and dropping depth charges and so on, but only I think, out of practice rather than necessity.
And it was just a four or five day run?
Yes, 3 or 4.
At what point did you know you were actually going to Gibraltar as a posting?
When we arrived there and I saw this blooming great big rock sticking up and told to start disembarking.
That was the first intimation you had?
Yes. I'm very pleased about it.
What were your feelings about going abroad?
Well, nothing. Because it was something that I'd expected. I was prepared for it. But I was delighted when it came to be Gibraltar rather than Hong Kong or somewhere like that, because it was a coast defence posting. And there weren't too many places where you could go for coast defence.
What was your first impressions when you arrived there?
There's no war on. Gibraltar was unique, I'm sure. No blackout, no rationing, no war. It was marvellous.
Had the victories in the Middle East occurred by the time you'd got there? And it was the Mediterranean open?
The Mediterranean was not open. It was before. It was before the main thrust in North Africa. You see, this is where being sort of young and carefree, I didn't take much notice of things going on elsewhere, as far as dates were concerned, as far as chronological order was concerned. No, because I don't think my brother had been conscripted by then. And then he was conscripted and he went out to North Africa. And I'm sure I was in Gibraltar at that time. I was there for quite a long time, about 3 years at Gibraltar. So a lot of things happened whilst I was there, but what started and what finished when I was there, I can't remember.
It's surprising that, as you said, there was no blackout. Presumably it was out of range.
At the very beginning of the war, there had been a blackout. So the Germans knew where to bomb because there was a blackout. They could tell which was land and which was sea. And Spain was all lit up. But once they eliminated the blackout, the Germans daren't bomb because they didn't know where Spain ended. That was the given reason. And there was no rationing because it was the shop window to Europe.
Good posting.
Oh, excellent posting. Excellent posting. I had 26 searchlights to look after there. All the coast defence searchlights I had to look after. Not immediately, but for the main part. And because it was a complete round-the-rock responsibility, poking out of various holes, I had my own billet in the middle of the town. I had a motorcycle, Norton 500, to get around on. Yes. I was officially based at Ginister Barracks. Major O'Neill was the main one. He was my OC for the main time.
What was he like?
Grand, great big chap. Soft as marshmallow, really, but a great chap. The men respected him. We had some Africans posted to us. I'm sure they were Africans, barefooted, doing drill on flints and with their bare feet. It made you cringe. I don't know really what happened to them. They were with us for about 4 or 5 months. I learned to play squash at Gibraltar and five-a-side football on a pitch the size of a tennis court.
A marvellous place, the Rock.
I went back to it last year and I wish I'd never been back. It's completely destroyed its character somehow. But yes, in those days it was imposing, it was majestic. There was an officer, an official posting, officer in charge of apes, at a captain's rank. And that was his job, to make certain the apes existed, because of the old saying that once the apes disappear, then Britain will lose the jib. In fact, there were some imported from Africa during the war to make certain they kept going.
The people and the population, what were they like towards you?
Staunchly British. Every day a crowd came over from Spain to work, Spaniards, and disappeared in the evening back again. Females were at a premium. They'd all been sent off to America or Britain or places, and so it was doubly fortuitous that I'd got to know these couple of friends on the ship. But a female company for a dinner out in the evening, just for a change. It was really at a premium.
Can you take me through the various leisure activities that you had on Gibraltar? You mentioned meals there. What other things did you do?
Apart from the normal routine of work, you mean?
Yes.
Well, for me, I had to take my turn in the command, in Gibraltar's command room, which was right in the heart of the Rock. And there it was a joint control of the Navy, the Air Force, and the Army. And of course, at night, which was when I was due in, if there was any radar bleep on the sea, well, so my searchlights were called upon to illuminate and investigate, and so the little speedboats could nip out and see what the hell it was. Generally, well, almost always fishermen. Occasionally, and nothing.
And did you have this communication from the centre with your various searchlight sites?
Yes, yes.
Was that telephone or
telephone,
radio?
Telephone. Yes. It was very interesting because the Wrens were down there pushing their ships all over the plan of the Med in the area near to Gib. And so we could see convoys zooming through at night.
You must have seen some of the very large convoys going through to Malta, for
yes,
example.
Yes, yes.
And coming back, presumably.
What managed to, yes. Yes, it was a funny time because you could see, as you say, well, we could tell if it was a naval little convoy, little flotilla going through because they shot off at such a speed, and then these blooming great slow convoys going through. Yeah, it was a funny time.
Did you have any excitement in the way of alarms and
No. No, it was solidly pre-war feeling, apart from when you were on duty, and then of course you really felt you were part of the war because there was always something going on at sea.
Some of the greatest warships in the British Navy were going.
Oh yes, and then they came into harbour, whether they be submarines or surface vessels. Yes. And of course we had the guns as well, and even though my job was searchlights, I obviously still had to be aware of what was going on with the 6-inch guns. I didn't get involved with the big 9.2. That was perched right at the top of the rock, right at the highest point.
How did they get them in? How did they get supplies in and out?
Supplies? You know. Of what? Normal supplies, yeah, you mean?
How did you know, get them from into the rock and round the rock?
I don't know.
Were there internal communications inside the rock itself?
Well, it riddled with passages, and yes, riddled with passages. The Royal Engineers were forever blasting out more openings, and well, they enlarged the aerodrome, the airfield, because to begin with, the planes were popping over the end. And so the Royal Engineers extended the field out into the bay of Algeciras by quite a long way. So all that rock came from inside, and they came across caves. And I believe now they've got them on show as tourist attractions. Yeah. Nearly all my searchlights were stuck in bits of rock just poking out of a hole.
You were obviously promoted whilst you were there.
When did I get to? No, I think I was lieutenant. Promoted from second up to full, but I was still sort of only a, I don't know, 22, 23. Forget when I left.
So it's quite a responsibility to have so many searchlights.
Well, all right, but yes, I suppose it was. But it was static. I knew exactly where everything was going to be tomorrow.
Do you have any outstanding memories of the rock? Things that particularly happened whilst you were there?
When I was in charge of the ceremony of the keys, that was one sort of like the changing of the guards here in Britain, the ceremony of the keys there. Who's there? The keys? Which keys? that sort of thing was full of ceremony and
are these the gates?
Yes,
the dividing Spain from.
That's right, and to the you march past the governor's abode with all pomp and ceremony. Had to drill for ages to get that sorted out properly. But action-wise. There wasn't any, you see. It came as a very big surprise one day when I took some of my troop out swimming that there was such a hell of an undertow. Fortunately, I was a strong swimmer, and so we all got ashore happily, but that was a fairly sticky moment.
Did you see any damaged ships coming back from the Malta Mediterranean run, actually putting them back into harbour?
Not that I Not that I can remember, no. Nothing stuck in my mind of it. Yes, particularly the odd man of war came in. Nothing was supposed to be said about it, so you didn't hear a fat lot. But, of course, over at Algeciras and La Linea, the two Spanish towns, there were plenty of Germans there looking on and taking note of everything. So things were tended to be done very low-key.
What were the relations like with the Spaniards?
Oh, all right. All right. We were allowed over to La Linea or Algeciras, providing we had civilian clothes and a passport. Of course, it was a fair brothel bed in both places. The other ranks for Algeciras and the officers for La Linea, sort of thing. But it wasn't. I went over once because I wanted to know what the hell the place was like. I didn't bother to go over anymore.
Was VD a problem amongst the men?
If it was, we didn't hear of it. I did know that the medic officer had condoms to hand out, but I don't know how well that facility was used. I know that a number of the Wrens were sent home hurriedly.
Was there an increase in activity when the North African invasion came? Do you recall that?
No, there wasn't, that I know of. No. No. And I think it was out of sight. It was down, not in the actual straits, because we could see the other side, we could see right across, and well, the 9.2 could hit Africa if it would want it to. So, and of course, it was all around the corner, and no, we didn't see anything. We didn't see any, and certainly at my level, we never got involved.
But presumably, most active it would be naval coming in.
Yes, 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 it would be. Yes. There were always men of war floating about, and eventually, because of age, I got shoveled off again by myself over to North Africa to train on 25-pounders.
Do you remember when this was?
After the North African episode had finished, Les Andalus was a place we went to. That's where we were stationed and taught how to perform with 25-pounders. And then we became I don't even know what regiment I joined, because again we did our training and then I got shoveled off again.